Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
But to have someone lead us in prayer, such a meaningful prayer as we just engaged in, to be able to sing these songs that Ken has led us in, and then in this portion of the worship to turn to God's Word, God's Word. Not just the words of men, not just the ideas that others have come up with, but to really turn and to hear God. We've talked to Him in prayer. We've tried to praise Him in song and encourage each other. But then to have the opportunity to let God actually speak to us through His Word. I'm amazed as I think about our Lord during the time He was on this earth and the tremendous wisdom that He exemplified. How He could take any situation, any question, no matter how difficult, situations where there were people who were actually trying to trap Him, to make Him look bad in the sight of the people, to try to demean Him, and yet He could always, within a few words, silence those who were critics, those who would not accept Him. And then when you turn to the teaching that He's given us in His Word, it's amazing to realize the impact that it has had upon humanity wherever it has gone. You think about some of the great theologians of the ages, men like Augustine or Calvin and various others, and the volumes of work they left, some 30 volumes, others 40 volumes, and on it goes. But then when you come to the teaching of our Lord, it is amazing to realize the impact that it has had. And yet you can read everything that our Lord said that we have recorded in 1 hour. Not volumes, just 1 hour, and you can read everything that we have recorded that Jesus said while He was on this earth. Indeed, it does show not only His wisdom, but His divinity. I love the parables of Jesus because they exemplify that great wisdom and the ability that He had to teach profound lessons in just a few words. The parable that I'd like to look with you at this morning is found in the 13th chapter of Matthew. And here, just in two verses, as we have divided the New Testament into chapters and verses, you take just two verses, verses 45 and 46. Let's read it together. And this is Jesus talking to us. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a merchant, seeking goodly pearls. And having found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Sometimes Jesus could take simple, everyday events such as that, boil it down into a few words, and teach truly parables or lessons that are, well, profound doesn't even do it justice. They are truly amazing. This is one of the short parables. Most of His parables are brief, but this is one of the shorter parables. It's just about a man who's a merchant, and his particular work is to find pearls. Perhaps he sold pearls. But here's a man that was just out looking for a pearl. Now, there are four things about this little parable that I'd like to try to emphasize for our benefit this morning, and hopefully make some application to your life, my life, as we're trying to serve the Lord. Jesus did not say things just to take up space, just to be saying something. Whatever He said had meaning. I doubt that He ever spoke an idle word. And so within these few words, there's something that has to be applicable to you and to me as we live in this generation. So four things that I'd like to try to emphasize this morning. First of all, when you look at this particular man, you find a man who had a definite purpose. He had some goal in life. He knew what he was after. There's some people that go through life rather aimlessly. A lot of the restlessness and the futility that you see in the world today among many people is a result of just not having any real purpose and an aim in life. And so a lot of the prevailing problems that we see in the world is due to aimlessness. I don't know what young people today call it. I know way back when I was a teenager, we used to talk about joyriding. I can still remember getting my father's car and picking up a few other boys, and we'd go out riding. We didn't have anywhere to go. All we were doing was just burning up gas. Didn't have anything in mind. We just wanted to get out and go, just ride. And we used to call it joyriding, just go. We didn't know where we were going. When we got there, we didn't know we were there. And it's kind of sad that a lot of people go through life like that. They're just going. They don't have any real goal, any aim. They don't know where they want to go. And if they were to get there, they probably wouldn't realize it. Well, it's sad to see people like that. And I have no doubt that some of the suicide that happens in this world is a result of that aimlessness, just not having any real purpose in their life. But when you think about purpose, having some goal, it really is powerful. Maybe you again remember when you were a child going outside with a magnifying glass and putting that glass over maybe some leaves or a little piece of paper and focusing the rays of the sun through that glass, and suddenly the paper would catch on fire. Now, you could leave that paper out in the sun all day and it would never burn. But if you can focus the rays through that glass, it's power. And purpose in life is like that. It focuses us. It gives us some purpose. It's a powerful thing. Well, the man that Jesus is talking about in this story that he's telling is a man with a definite purpose. He knows what he's after. And it's rather amazing to think of other occasions in the Bible when purpose is mentioned. Daniel, for instance. What do we remember about Daniel? Probably the first thing is that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's food. Here was a man who had purpose and power. Babylon, you can hardly find any ruins of Babylon today. But Daniel is a man that we still admire. We still know about this man. He had purpose, and he became a man to deal with. Dennis Stephen, I didn't ask Dennis if he'd mind me saying anything about it, but I've always admired Dennis for many things. But one thing was his ability to focus. I remember when we were young fellows on the board at Columbia Academy and the school was just beginning, and a lot of struggling and late night meetings, and time came when Dennis became chairman of the board. And whether he remembers it or not, I still remember him discussing the fact that he had goals, purposes, something that he was wanting to achieve. And he led us in doing that. And a lot of what you see on that campus down the road today is a result of some of that purpose and planning. And I'm sure that's been a part of his success in business and as an elder of the Lord's church. But all of us need that kind of aim and purpose in life. But not only was this man a man of purpose, this man had the highest possible purpose. He knew what he was after. He was seeking for the very best. He was on a quest for a pearl, not just any pearl, but the best pearl. He already had some pearls, but they weren't good enough. Of course, in that day, pearls were priceless jewels. And that pricelessness, that jewel, that pearl, really is within the reach of all of us in our lives. And since there is that ability or that fact that it's nearby, it really is our solemn duty to reach for it, to seek for the very best in life. Sadly, there are some people that want the best, but they're not willing to pay the price for the best. Isn't it sad to see people who really fall beneath their privileges? You know, we have such privileges in this country. There's some of our brethren in other places in the world that would give anything to have the opportunities and the privileges that you and I have right here in Columbia, in this congregation. But sometimes we fall beneath the privileges that we have. And there are some people in life who really choose the worthless. It's not that they are not looking for the best. They're looking for the worthless things. And they can easily be satisfied in their life, with things of lesser value. Sadly, there are some people that are just looking for things that are absolutely vicious and evil and worthless. They have a very low ambition in life. It's not that they sometimes are vicious and ugly people, but they're just willing to be satisfied with the second best, something that's not as good as what they could have. There are those who are seeking the trifling, worthless things in life. And I've wondered, when we get to the end of our life, if we get what we've been looking for in this life, what we have spent our life on, what we have used up, whatever time God gave us, when we get to the end and we look at what we have or what we've accomplished or what we've become, will it be worth what we have spent on it? If we get what we think we want in life, at the end, is it worth it? Have we really spent our whole existence on earth for something like the very best that this man is looking for, or for something that's really rather trifling and not worth anything when it's all over? I remember reading a story about an old gentleman that was in the hospital. I think it was John Hopkins Hospital. He'd been rather sick, and the doctor had run all of these tests, and as they do, and finally came back to the old gentleman and said, if you'll give up coffee and tobacco and alcoholic drinking, you'll live 10 more years. And the old man said, for what? All his life really consisted of was just eating and drinking. If he couldn't do that, what do you want to live for? Well, sometimes we spend our life, the things that we're really looking for are not really worth all that much when all is said and done. And so as we think about this man, this pearl seeker, his ambition, what are we looking for? I hope you'll ask yourself. I'm trying to do that. What are we really wanting out of life? What are we after in life? And if you win the prize that you're seeking, that you're giving yourself for, is it going to be worthwhile? When the sundown comes, will it have been worth it all? Not meaning to repeat a cliche, but it is true. We have one life to invest. This is it. We're not going to get another. Whatever it is we're investing our life in, what are we buying with it? What are we looking for? What will we have achieved? Maybe you remember the story. Been terribly rainy season. River was swollen. Two teenage boys were standing at the edge of the river on the bank, and they were just watching curiously as various things floated down the river in the swift current. And lo and behold, suddenly they saw a log, and on that log was a rabbit. Rabbit just riding down the swift current and the log. And one of the boys said to his friend, he said, I'm going to go out and get that rabbit. He said, no, don't. You don't want to get out there in that water. He said, yeah, I'm going after it. And there was an old rickety boat. He got in the boat, intersected that log as it passed by, and sure enough, he grabbed the rabbit. But soon after, his boat capsized, and in that swift current, he was carried down. He drowned, and later, as they found his body farther on down the river, and his friend walked up to him and unbuttoned his coat and reached in and pulled out that rabbit, dead rabbit now, and he held it up and he said, he gave his life for this dead rabbit. Well, what are we seeking when it's all over? We hold it up. What's it going to be worth? Surely more than something like that boy gave his life for. Now there's something else, a third point that I think is significant. Here's a man who had a purpose. He had the very highest purpose. And when he found that pearl of great price, finer than any he had ever seen, he recognized it. This is it. This is what I've been looking for. He was a judge of good values. There's so many people in life that are not, that really don't know the best from the second best or worthy things. But you know, it's really essential in so many areas of life to be able to recognize the things of value when you find them. whether you're trading horses or cars or houses or whatever it is, you have to be able to recognize value when you see it. This man could do that. He could tell this pearl from a counterfeit. He could tell the best from the second best. And having found that which was the very best, he wanted it. But there's so many of us who turn from the real values of life for things that are just second best or are not really worth much. Think about a statement made by Isaiah. It's in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, verse 2. Wherefore do we spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? I remember reading about a fellow who liked to go through the countryside and just look for old antiques. And he was out riding in the country one day, and he got lost. Saw a farmhouse, walked up to the farmhouse. The man answered the door, gave him directions. But as he stood there, he looked down, and he saw an old fiddle just propping the door open. And he asked the man about it. He said, "Oh, that's just a door prop." And he said, "Well, would you sell it?" And for very little, he bought the fiddle. Turned out to be a Stradivarius. The man who had it did not realize the value. The man who saw it did. We need to be able to recognize things of value when we see them. What really counts in life? What is it that's really worthwhile? This man, when he saw the best, recognized it. There are some who are deceived by really things that are just outwardly beautiful, but they're worthless. What's that old saying? All that glitters is not gold. Things that look good, things that look valuable, are not always valuable. You think about those horrible days during the slave trading, when the ships would go to Africa, and they would try to entice the natives to come on board so that they could shackle them and take them back to slavery. And often they would put out the gaudy little beads and various things that look so appealing and shiny and invite the others to come on board and look at these things and you can have them. And when they came on board, of course, they were put in chains. And sometimes the things that we think are so beautiful and that's what we want out of life, we're simply shackled in the end and we've lost all that's really good. And sometimes we're just confused by the crowd. About the highest purpose some people have is just to go with the crowd. Whichever way the wind's blowing, go with that. Majority is most always wrong. Where was the majority when Jesus died? Where will the majority be in eternity? Just following the crowd is not good enough. That's not the real test of that which is of true value. And then there are some who are willing and desire to be satisfied with their deepest needs. Things like faith, hope, and love. Things that abide. Things that are going to really last. This man wanted the best. And then finally, this wise merchant bought it when he found it. Having started out with a purpose, the very highest purpose that he could have, and recognizing it when he found it, now he buys it. If he had not, all of that searching, all of that desire, all of that wisdom would have meant nothing if he had not bought it in the end. And here again is where so many fail in life. Some merely wish that this precious thing was theirs. They spend their time talking about how beautiful it is. They say, "I'd love to have that." I remember, maybe it was Brother Franklin Camp. Brother Camp used to spend hours and hours and hours every day. If I remember correctly, some 10 hours a day he would spend studying the Bible. And after a class one day, a lady walked up to him and she said, "I would give the world to have that kind of knowledge of the Bible." And Brother Camp said, "That's what it costs me." Some are not willing to pay the price, however, even if they realize that that's what they want. There are some who think the price is too high. There are people who never become Christians because they listen to the devil who says it costs too much to be a Christian. They're not willing to pay the price. And they try to persuade themselves that it's not worth it. Think about the 10 spies who came back from the land of Cana. 12 had been sent out. Caleb and Joshua came back and they said, yes, we need to take it. We can take it. But those 10, they did not deny that it was just as they had been told, that it was a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a great place. We'd love to be there. But it's going to cost too much. When we look at those big men that are there, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't do it. It's going to cost us too much. And they turn back. And so many people in life find what they think they've been looking for, but then are not willing to pay the price for it. And you know, a lot of the criticism that people have of Christianity, people who try to say things ugly about the church and about the Christian life, are really just cowards who are throwing up a smoke screen because they're not willing to pay the price that it really is going to cost. Others are not willing to pay the price. Oh, they admire the pearl. They hope to own it someday. But they're going to wait for a bargain day. Wait till sale day. Wait until the price goes down. I want to be a Christian. I want to go to heaven, but I'm waiting for a sale day. I'm waiting until I get through with all these other things I want to do in life, and then when I think it's going to be cheaper, won't cost me as much, then I'll become a Christian. But I'm just not ready to do it right now. Waiting for the sale day, hoping to find the pearl among the bargain counter. It's not going to be there. When you look at this story that Jesus told, just two verses, but my, He has said something to us that ought to make us almost shake in our shoes. When we look at our lives and how we're spending it, this wise merchant found the pearl and he bought it. In fact, he wanted it so badly and he realized it was so valuable that he sold everything he had. Can you imagine, would you give up everything you have for one thing? He already had some pearls. Doubtless had other property. But it said he sold it all to get this one pearl because he knew that it was the pearl of great price. And what the Lord is saying to us is, your soul, heaven, eternity, it's worth the price. What shall a man, Jesus said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If he were to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul, what a fool he'd be. We know where the real value is. We believe in heaven. You wouldn't be in this room this morning if you didn't believe in heaven. We say we want to go to heaven. There's not a person here who is saying, I don't want to go to heaven. We want the pearl of great price. Some of us may not be willing to pay the price. And it costs. It costs to go to heaven. It costs God His Son. It costs Jesus His life. It costs the apostles their lives. And it's going to cost you and me something if we go to heaven. But whatever we give up is second best. It's worthless. But to gain heaven, throughout all eternity, and I can't comprehend eternity, can you? But to gain that, if we get what we're looking for in life, is it going to be worth it all when it's all over? Well, if we've taken that pearl of great price, it will be, and we can all do that. So here was a man with a purpose. Do you have a purpose in life? Here was a man who had a definite purpose. Our purpose ought to be definitely to go to heaven. He was seeking a pearl of the highest value, the very best pearl, and he recognized it when he saw it. And he was willing to buy it and pay the price. Here's heaven, eternity, home with God, the redeemed of all the ages. We recognize it. Will we do what it takes to receive it? Well, Jesus invites us to come to him, and he said, if you'll accept me, you believe me, I'm God's Son. Will you believe that? Will you live like I ask you to live? It's the best life. It's the happy life. And if you'll obey me and become my child, turning from your sins and being baptized into Christ, you can have that pearl of great price. I'll give you a home in heaven. Maybe some of us have gotten sidetracked. need to come back and get on track again. But the Lord invites us to come, and if you're subject to that invitation, that beautiful invitation that Jesus is offering to us, I hope you'll accept it this morning as we stand and as we sing.